Good evening and welcome to the BBS Talk Radio Show for a Beautiful You, where we will celebrate the success of men and women presented to you by the award-winning Miss Mrs. U.S. Beauty's National Pageant. Now here's your host, Our Lady Di.
Welcome to our Wednesday night show for A Beautiful You, sponsored by the U.S. Beauty's Pageant Organization. We're so very happy that you have joined us. Tonight we have very special guests, Mark and Jeannie Simon. I don't even know where to begin with them. They have a resume that is a mile long. They are directors and producers and writers, and I mean, I can go on and on. We can interview from now till tomorrow morning. But they are the developers of Sell Your TV Concept Now, and it's going to be a very interesting conversation with them because they are involved in so many things. And when I was, you know, researching and writing and to ask my questions, I'm like, oh my gosh, where am I going to go? They are just so versatile, and you'll find out during our conversation. First, we want to let you know that Americans watch 250 billion hours of TV annually. You know, their love affair with TV is insatiable, which is probably one of the reasons why Mark and Jeannie decided to develop this concept. So we're going to first speak with Mark Simon. How are you tonight?
I am doing great. So thanks so much for having us on.
You are just a phenomenal, I mean, you've just done everything.
Boy, I like you.
No, really? I mean, when I was researching, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is a 10-hour show. But tell us a little bit about yourself, Mark.
Well, I want world peace. I'm 6'4". No. I've been an artist all my life, and the biggest thing for me is I really love to tell stories, and I love to work with other creative people. So I actually started my career in Hollywood as soon as I graduated college, and I started designing feature films. And I realized that I had missed drawing as much. You know, I was doing set design but not sketching as much, and I had noticed a lot of storyboards coming across my desk. So I started storyboarding on an old HBO series with O.J. Simpson called First and Ten. It's actually where I met my wife, too. And then when the big quake hit Frisco back in 89, Jeannie didn't like that too much. So we moved to Orlando all the way across the country. Hollywood East was growing at the time. And Jeannie and I ended up opening up the Nickelodeon studios here. I became the second designer at Nickelodeon, then founded my storyboard company, and left Nickelodeon to work with Steven Spielberg on Sequest. Then I started writing my books. I've now written 10 books for artists in the entertainment industry. I also started up an animation studio with Disney as my first client. And years later, then Jeannie and I joined forces after she did a couple of really cool things she'll tell you about. And we started up Sell Your TV Concept Now because we had been developing a number of shows and having success in selling and distributing them. And a lot of people kept coming to us and asking us how they could do what we did. And we figured, you know, it took us over 7 years to figure it out, and there's really no reason for that, but no one else was teaching people what they needed to do. So we put this program together to help people really learn everything they need to take their concept, turn it into a reality, and see it on TV.
Now, Mark, you have worked on over 2,500 productions in the last 20 years as a director, producer, story artist, animator, and designer. I mean, mm-hmm. Working with clients, Disney, Universal. I mean, I can go on and on. What started this going for you? What was the actual door that opened for this?
It was probably the door that I kicked in because it's what I wanted to do, so I just didn't let anyone stand in my way. And, you know, it's not like I was being mean about it. It's just I don't accept no. You know, I wanted to work in Hollywood, so I moved to Hollywood. You know, I could have stayed at home and sent out resumes, but that doesn't do anything. So I just literally go to where I need to. And, you know, to kind of give you an idea how things can happen. When Sequest came to town, you know, of course, it was science fiction. It was Steven Spielberg. I was working on the Universal lot where they were officed at the time, but I didn't know anyone on there, and I really, really wanted to work on that show. So I called a friend of mine who was in the same office building as the Sequest production. And I called her. I said, Patty, I know you have met someone on this production because you talk to everybody. You know the person, the kind of person that literally never shuts up. Well, that was my friend Patty. And I asked her, you know, you met someone, please introduce me to someone, anyone, I don't care who it is. She goes, you know, I just had lunch yesterday with a construction coordinator. I went, great, I can talk his language. I'll be right over. And before she could say no, I literally ran over to her office. And I grabbed her. I said, all right, let's go find this guy. So we walked out to the sound stages. Sure enough, there he is coming out of one of the sound stages. And she called him out to him, and they started talking. She said, hey, I want to introduce you to this friend of mine, Mark Simon, at which point I forgot she existed. And I started talking to this guy. His name was Mike. And I said, hey, I used to do this. These sets look great, and on and on and on. I said, hey, I'd love to get on this show, you know, as either a storyboard artist or a set designer. Who would I talk to? He said, well, you'd probably want to talk to Vaughn Edwards, our production designer. I said, great. Is he around? I said, yeah, he could be in his office. I said, would you introduce me? So he took me upstairs. You know, I just met the guy. But he took me upstairs and introduced me to Vaughn. Vaughn said, yeah, sure, I'll take a look at your stuff real fast. And he looked at all my things, which I, of course, had with me. And he said, you know, this looks great, but I don't make the final decision. So I said, really? Who does? He said, well, that would be Oscar Costo, our producer. I said, is he in? He said, well, he should be. I said, would you introduce me? So he gets up, walks down the hallway, takes me into Oscar's office. He said, Oscar, is Mark Simon? I just took a look at his stuff. He's interested in either set design or storyboarding. It all looks great to me. So I sat down with Oscar. He took a look at all my work, and he said, all right, here's the deal. I've met a lot of people here who can do what you do in set design, and I'm thinking, oh, this isn't a good start. He said, but you're the only one I've met who can board this way. You're our new storyboard artist.
Oh,
and that was it. So within 15 minutes of having the idea, I had my dream job because I got off my butt, and I went out there and got it.
And you actually pitched yourself. I mean,
absolutely.
Actually, you just pitched yourself, and that's wonderful. I mean, here at For a Beautiful You, we celebrate the success stories of men and women, and it's truly a success story that you have, and it goes to show you that you never give up on your dreams.
Absolutely.
And if you really want them, you can go forward and get them. You know, it's they're out there. Now, Jeannie, you are an accomplished producer, writer in the entertainment industry
too.
For 24 years, and she's cute too. Yeah, she is. She's very pretty.
Thank you.
Isn't it nice after being married all this time, he still says this about you?
That's right. You know what? It'll be 19 years in December.
19 years, and he's still saying these nice
things? Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Okay, this is for another show, but we'll ask it anyway.
right.
What's the magic? What's the marriage magic? 19 years.
We talk.
And he's still telling you how beautiful.
You know what? Like Mark said, we talk, but we really make each other laugh. We have such a good time working together.
Yeah. It's not a good day if I can't make Jeannie laugh at least 10 times.
Right.
Oh, how wonderful for the two of you. Like I said, this is another show we'll be calling you on. Okay. Now, Jeannie, let's tell our listeners that you've produced over 400 episodes of TV. Tell us a little bit about what you have done.
Well, like Mark said, we met in L.A., and I went out there on my own, didn't have a job, really didn't know many people, but, you know, I was young. I'm from the Midwest. I'm from St. Louis. And I kind of realized, you know, there's not a booming film industry there. So I just packed up my car, moved out there, and I started working in feature films pretty quickly. But, you know, kind of like Mark, I mean, you have to make your own luck out there. And I would just go to Hollywood, and I'd go from production office to office handing out my resumes. And I just, you know, met enough people that I wore them down. And they finally gave me a job. But it was great. Working out there is really special. And working in films, there's a definite magic about it. But I did meet Mark working for HBO. That was a really fun production. We moved here, so I did work for Nickelodeon, and I worked on two of their hottest shows. I worked on Clarissa Explains It All, which was a breakout show for girls with Melissa Joan Hart, and I worked on Roundhouse, which was a fabulous music,
mm-hmm.
comedy, variety show.
Mm-hmm.
And both of those shows were part of Saturday Night SNCC, which was like their primetime shows. And then I had a really unique experience. After working for Nick, really pretty steadily for about 5 years. I got a great opportunity at Turner Broadcasting in Atlanta. And along with another man from New York, the two of us created an entire network for them.
Mm.
And this is in the mid-90s, and our job was to combine the Internet with television. And we were a little ahead of our time because back then you really couldn't download video and pictures very easily. And we kind of wanted to do that. But anyway, I mean, we created all the shows. We did everything. It was really great. And then while I was there, I was hired to produce the Cartoon Network's first live-action show with Carrot Top.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, but it was fun. You know, he's a funny guy.
He's a nice guy.
Yeah. And then shortly after that, I worked for TNN on a reality show, which is, you know, really, really real, called Roller Jam.
Not.
You know, Roller Jam was roller derby. You know, every bit as real as wrestling. And my job was to create the characters. You know, the characters that we love to hiss and boo at, the bad guys. And
cheer the good guys.
And cheer the good guys on. And that was so much fun. It was a great job.
Yeah, in fact, she made our house the house of the heroes. In fact, our dog was the hero's dog.
That's right.
Aww.
Yeah. And
well,
then,
you both
have... Oh, I was going to say, and then after that, Mark and I probably had our most... important production. We produce Twin Boys.
Yeah, but they're inspiring new shows.
They're 9 years old now, and actually we created a show about them.
I don't know where you had the time to do this, you know, but...
Well, you know what?
Well, that's definitely a different show.
Yeah, that's a whole other show, too.
That's true.
You're blushing, so aren't you?
Me? Yeah. So you have two twin boys, 9 years old.
Yep.
Oh, my goodness. And now you're both busy with your careers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So let me ask you a question. With your tremendous success, because you're both a success story as far as I'm concerned, what made you start Sell Your TV Concept and why?
Well, I'll tell you, we've been doing this business for years.
Because, about 12 years.
Yeah, for 12 years, because people would find out about us, or they, you know, we get a lot of PR, newspaper, radio, and they would hear about us, that we had sold a show or made a deal. So people would call us and say, can you help us with our show? And many times we did, but when you work with just one person at a time, it's more expensive.
Yeah, it's very expensive. You know, not a lot of people could afford it.
Right. So we decided, well, you know, let's formalize the business, make it less expensive, and help many more people at once. And that's how this business was born.
Yeah, we prepackaged a lot of things, so it made it easier for us to work with a lot of people and really drive down the cost.
And tell us how you go about promoting this. I mean, what do you do? Do you give lectures? Do you go to conventions, seminars? What do you do?
Yes.
Yeah, we do. We speak all over the world at different events. You know, I've spoken as far away as China. Jeannie and I went to England a while ago to speak. And
we're going to L.A. next month.
Yeah, in November. Well, November.
Oh, November,
in November,
right.
We'll be speaking at the Screenwriter Expo. I speak every year at Comic-Con, the big 125,000 people that show up for that event. So, you know, a lot of people meet us there. I write a lot for different magazines, and in my byline talks about what I do. So, and my articles are really popular. So we get a lot of people come to us that way. And Google AdWords is huge, too. If you search for pitching TV, you're going to run into us.
Well, another thing we do, too, is we reach out to people, because when they find us on the web and you go to our website, which is sellyourtvconceptnow.com, there's a free report there on pitching mistakes that you really need to avoid.
Right.
What are they? What are they, Jeannie? Tell us a little bit about them.
You know, the number one mistake is when somebody says to you, so, Mark, what's your show about? The typical person will say, it's going to be the next big thing. I've pitched it to my parents and my friends, and everybody loves it, and it's going to make so much money. They never get to what the show is. They talk about it, and they try to sell it like that, but that's not what people are looking for. You have to get to the point of the show right away.
The entertainment portion of the show.
Right.
And even people think they're telling about it, they'll also get into talking about the details. And we're not looking for the details in the pitch. You're looking for something like a great joke or great story that someone's telling you. Everything is character and story-based, and people miss that.
Okay, I'm going to use my business, for example, Jeannie and Mark. I am the president of the Miss and Mrs. U.S. Beauty's National Pageant. Now, when the media thinks pageant, they think of world peace, just like you had started at the beginning of the show. I had to laugh when you said that. And, you know, the concept that I've developed through my marketing strategies is the success of the modern woman, where we focus in on each individual contestant's success story, which are phenomenal. You should see some of these success stories coming into us from each of our contestants. I've been trying to get it on, you know, direct TV for a while or cable TV, and people keep telling me I need an agent. So what do I need to do to get out there and say, okay, here it is. I know this could work. This is what I've got a great package. What would I need to do, Mark and Jeannie?
Well, first of all, we'd need to know a little bit more about the pageant to be able to help you out. But yeah, when you're pitching it, first of all, you need to find where the story is about it. And you've been doing this. Have you run any tape on it yet?
No,
do you have any
I have
tape
not.
Of it?
Oh, you well, mean that... tape of the shows? Yes, I do. I have DVDs.
Okay. Have you edited a 2 to 3 minute sample of it?
Yes, we do.
Okay, because no one's ever going to watch more than 2 or 3 minutes, so that's good. I was going to say a big thing is learning how to get to the right people.
Okay.
And you're not going to get an agent before you get a deal, so don't waste your time trying to get one. That's not how the industry works. But what you can do is get into all the networks without an agent. And that's a big part of what we spend a lot of time with people is showing them how to do that. And one way to do that is to go to some of the big TV conferences, such as NAPI, MIP, MIPCOM, BAMF, Kidscreen, things like that.
These are now big. Go ahead, Mark.
I was going to say these are the big buying and selling conferences of TV product that happen all over the world. And we go every year. In fact, we have a tour called the Hitmaker Tour where we train people how to go, and then we mentor them, and we're on site, and we show them around, introduce them to people, and guide them through the process of going the first time because it can be kind of overwhelming.
Overwhelming, and I've known people that have pitched their ideas, and they've walked out very frustrated because they seem like they failed, and they've gone to different people and tried to pitch it, and, you know, exactly tell our listeners what pitching is when you pitch a show.
Basically, all it is talking to, not at, but talking to an executive and getting across your idea in an entertaining way. Because if you don't entertain them, they're not going to see an entertaining show in their head. So you're telling a story to get them to want to invest in you and your idea.
Right. Another big part of it, just like in any good sales presentation, is you ask for feedback. You encourage the executives to take part in the show.
Yeah, you want them coming up with ideas and concepts, and you definitely do not want to shoot them down, which a lot of people do because they have one idea in their head. They say, no, it has to be my way or nothing. Well, then it's going to be nothing every time. Everything is a cooperative in this industry. You've got to be able to work with them, and chances are they know more about the industry and what they want than you do. And if you allow them to work creatively with you, they start vesting in your idea, and that's fantastic because that's when you leave and they continue carrying the torch because they now have a vested interest in it.
Mark and Jeannie, tell us about the TV Pitch School, the ultimate home study course that you both have developed.
Well, this is a terrific way for people to, you know, begin on their show. It's at their own pace. It's at an affordable rate. And there are 15 CDs and there's 4 workbooks. And it's kind of broken up into courses. And the first course touches upon development because what we find is we work with a lot of people and they do have great ideas for TV shows, but they're not fully developed TV concepts that they can pitch.
All right. Most people don't understand what really goes into a TV show. It's usually much, much more than they expect.
Right.
So we take them through every step of that.
Right. So the workbooks have fill in the blank. I mean, this really takes you by the hand so you can work it out yourself. And then we also touch upon, in fact, more than touch upon, there's a huge part about pitching. There are several CDs about pitching, and you also hear from other people than us, who have successfully sold their shows.
Right, and we have a whole course on packaging, which is probably, there's a number of questions we get. People are worried about things, their ideas being stolen, and they want to know how to land pitch meetings without an agent, and they also want to know, so what do I bring into a pitch? And that's called packaging. We have a whole course just on packaging. What do you bring? What don't you bring? How do you put it together? What do they expect? Those types of things.
Oh, plus there's samples.
Oh, that's right. And we've got four samples of Bibles and treatments, which are highly proprietary. You will not find these anywhere. No one releases them because they cost $60,000 to $80,000 a piece to produce. Well, we own them, so we put four of them into this package for you.
And it's all based on your experience over the years, because how you had just started out with the interview, Mark, you pitched yourself to people. You know,
absolutely.
And so actually you started from A, and now here you are developing your own series for people like the average Joe, you know, who wants to get a show on television.
Well, so, and it's more than just our experience, too, because we interview a lot of network executives and other industry executives. A number of them are interviewed in our course, and we go to these conferences. Multiple conferences every year, and we're we go to learn as much as everyone else, and because we've been doing this so long, we know a lot of the execs, so we keep asking, so what's going on, what's the hottest thing now, and we've noticed over the last couple of years the industry's really been changing on what they're looking for and how they want to be presented with material.
Well, you know, it's interesting, Mark and Jeannie, when Dancing with the Stars first came out, you know, it was just a little show that they thought, okay, you know, the little train that could. And then, bam, it just broke out of the gates, just like American Idol. I remember the first show looked like they were on a small stage, you know, one or two sponsors. It's amazing how the shows have taken off. What do you contribute to their success?
Character and story.
Yeah, I mean, with Dancing with the Stars, people are always curious about stars. And seeing, mm-hmm. you know, seeing some of their favorite actors dance is pretty intriguing.
And fail to dance.
And fail to dance, that's right. And then on American Idol, if you notice, they spend a lot of time on backstories of those contestants. And we really know those people. And we care about them. And, you know, even Mark and I, we typically don't vote, like, for the first maybe half, I'd say, of the season. But, you know, by the end, we're voting
absolutely.
Along with everybody else. We get so into it.
Do you think reality shows are ever going to take a nosedive, Mark and Jeannie? You think they'll always be around?
I think they'll always be around.
They'll be around. They're not going to be at the forefront of all production like you had seen. In fact, we're already starting to see more and more comedies coming back. One of the things that's happening is, whereas they're cash cows for the networks, they make money really quickly because, at least originally, they were not as expensive to produce. That has been changing. But the problem is the networks are not able to resell them and syndicate them later after they have so many episodes. Whereas a Friends or a Seinfeld or a Cheers, once you get 65 episodes, they can syndicate them and strip them daily so you see it 5 days a week, and they can make hundreds of millions of dollars. Once you've seen a reality show, you pretty much don't want to see it again. So where the networks have been making a lot of money off popular shows, the shows that they're making money on now on the first run, they don't make money on later on.
And so how would the average person, what is the advice you would give them? So just say a listener has a show, TV show they developed called You Got Lucky. We'll just say that for sake of a name. What advice you give him now? What does he do next with his show? He's got it on paper. He's looking at it. He has a vision in his head. And now, what does he need to do next, Mark?
You know, that's actually a really big question, and there are so many different potential answers. The biggest thing I would say is definitely get a hold of us so we can help you take the next proper steps so that you don't needlessly waste hundreds of, or tens of thousands of dollars in years going the wrong direction. It's so much easier to do this when you get guidance up front and you start moving the right direction. Because I can't tell you how often we're working with the effect. We just had our Hitmaker Summit, a 3-day event we host a couple times a year. We just wrapped it up this past weekend. And so many people who came completely changed their idea during the event because they hadn't realized what made a good TV show. So whereas their core concept stayed the same, how they saw their show changed completely. And it's easier to do that now than after you've been hiring people to help you write scripts or if you want to produce a promo or do an artwork and all these types of things. I can't tell you often we see people who spend just an inordinate amount of money, and the first thing we do when we look at it is go, you got to throw all this away. And that's a pretty hard thing to hear.
Well, Jeannie, does it start out with a name? I mean, do I have to have a good name first before the concept?
Well, here's what's funny. You know, you start out with a name, and this has happened to me and Mark constantly. For instance, I'll give you a good example. So I told you that we're creating a show based on our boys.
Yes.
And I had been telling them stories for years, and I called them Baby Ninjas. And so we pitched this show. We didn't develop it too much, but we went to Hollywood, and we pitched it to a couple people. We said, well, what do you think? They loved the idea, not too crazy about the name. So we worked on it some more, and the point is when you work on your show and really start working on the episodes and what happens and the characters, you often change the name. That's very, very common. And we ended up changing the name of the show to Luke and Reese Save the World. And we got a much better response from executives.
In fact, that was actually a suggestion. Part of that was a suggestion from an executive friend of ours. Again, like Jeannie had mentioned earlier, we asked for feedback, and we asked him. And he really got into it and really started working on some more development with us. And, man, he came up with some great ideas. You know, we like to joke that network execs are not very smart, and that's really far from the truth.
Yes.
They really do know what they're
right.
doing.
Well, and also to answer your question, like Mark said, we just had the Hitmaker Summit. How we changed, I'd say, over half the titles there. People came with one name, and they left with another.
Yeah.
So you're going to the network meetings and summits and things like that. Everybody's always looking for that next big hit, you know, because American Idol won't stand forever and Dancing with the Stars won't stand on forever. I mean, you know, they're always looking. What do you recommend as the next big hit? What do you think people should concentrate on working on as the next big hit right now?
Whatever they love.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't try to figure out what the market wants because that never really works. You'll never get it.
And it won't be as good.
Right.
You've probably heard the adage, write what you know, and
mm-hmm.
that's really important. In fact, the best ideas we saw this past week from some of our clients were based on their life or some element of their life or some event because that's what people have a passion about. So, and passion sells more than anything else.
You think so? Yeah.
Absolutely.
Oh, there's no question because executives are swayed by a unique perspective. And that's what many of our clients have. Their shows are based on their own experience or their own point of view. You know, they're just so passionate about their viewpoint on something that they feel they just have to get it out there.
And if you don't have a whole lot of industry experience, it's actually even more important because if it's based on your experience, part of what makes a show yours and unique is that you come to it from a different angle. So it's not just experience or industry experience, but it's lifestyle experience that no one else has.
And with your concept, you can help somebody, an individual, sell their TV concept by leading them through step by step. That's important because you do have a step by step procedure.
We do, and where we start on those steps kind of depends on where they come to us. But we'll give you an example of how quickly this can work. I'm not going to say this would happen for everyone because it won't. But in our last March, one of our previous Hitmaker Summits. We had two clients that came with an idea for a reality show, Monya Claiborne and Claudia
Reynolds.
And we worked with them, and they actually had some pretty good stuff with them, but we worked with them on how to properly package it and how they're going to land their meetings and this kind of stuff. A week after working with us, they met the owner of a network sold their show and went into production a week after that. They are actually in the middle of shooting right now. Their show premieres sometime this month, so I guess sometime in the next week. They're actually they're based out of Nashville, just outside of Nashville, and they're producing. In fact, it's tomorrow. Come to think of it, they're producing one of their episodes tomorrow here in Orlando. We're actually going to the shoot, and the episode is with the ice skater Scott Hamilton.
Oh yes, God, that's wonderful, especially since he went through that. You know, a horrible cancer episode, what, a few years ago, and we're so glad that he's back on his feet again and doing well. That is wonderful.
Yeah, so it's exciting to see how quickly these things go. And we've seen this type of thing happen with a number of our clients, so it's exciting.
Well, you have, I bet you're excited when somebody comes to you and you're able to be able to help them to get this pitched. I bet that's exciting for you, Jeannie and Mark, because this is a passion of yours. I mean, you can see by reading your website and all that you're offering that you've really put a lot of work and passion into this. And I think that's what makes a person a success, too, is the passion and drive, and they never give up, you know, on their dream. And you definitely would be able to help somebody fulfill that dream, you know. And so for that, I applaud the both of you because you have years of experience to back it up on top of it, so... What better people to approach, listeners, than Mark and Jeannie Simon, you know, with this. You've got two ways to get your show on TV. Give us the two ways, Mark and Jeannie, that somebody can do this.
I'm actually not following your question. Sorry.
Oh, there are two ways to get your show on TV. You have way number one, the get lucky approach, and you have way number two, the intentional approach.
All right.
I see what you're getting
all right,
at.
All right. Sorry about that. I missed the lead in there.
Right. That's from our own website. Ah, yes.
Oh, I guess
remember.
I need to read our website more often.
Don't feel bad. Somebody was saying to me, what are the rules and regulations for this? I have to go back on my website. I don't remember.
Well, so. The get lucky approach, well, it's just that. I mean, actually, you know, Mark and I, kind of did the get lucky approach, but I'll tell you what, get lucky. It took us, what, 8 years, how many tens of thousands of dollars? I don't know that it was lucky.
Yeah.
It was it was bullheaded. It was the bullheaded approach. you know, we just wouldn't give up, but we couldn't find a mentor. We couldn't really.
There's no material out there, no
samples
to work from.
So we kind of felt like we were reinventing the wheel ourselves, and finally we broke through and we did sell some shows. And actually, that's another reason why we created this business, because we felt, my gosh, it just doesn't have to be this hard.
Yeah.
So, you know, the get lucky approach is, you know, stumble along on your own and maybe you'll be successful. The second approach is, work with somebody who's traveled the road before you and been successful and can help you with a process, a proven process, and that's our approach.
Wow,
and you've also...
good.
Yeah. Mark forgot about it. He hasn't been on the website for a while, so you reminded him.
That's right.
Don't feel bad, Mark. I get the same thing. I forget what's on my website. People are asking me. CRIPT, which is a model for success, which you call SCRIPT. S stands for search and research. C stands for create and develop your hook. I like that. R stands for refine. I stands for investment. And P stands for pitch. Very unique. T stands for take action. That's a very unique approach for a model for success. How did you come up with this, Mark and Jeannie?
Jeannie loves playing with letters.
Well, it's true, you know. And it worked thematically. It just worked great. You know, the script for success, and then it really worked out because that is what we do. That's not the exact order, but that is what we do. I mean, we are big believers in research. You know, we tell our people, you know, you all have a lot of homework to do. But the good part is it's watching television.
Yeah, that's the best research you can do.
Most people like that. But seriously, you really do need to know your research. For instance, if you're going to pitch a show to Discovery Networks, you need to know where your show would go on the network.
You need to know what they just put on the network. Make sure your show works for them.
Right. You need to know those things. I mean, I cannot tell you so many times I'll say to a client, okay, where would you like to pitch your show? And they'll say...
Everywhere.
Everywhere. Or NBC. I really would like to have it on NBC. Well, what shows do you like on NBC? And then I swear they'll say, well, I really don't watch television. I'm like, oh, no.
Yeah, you don't want to say that in a pitch to a TV exec.
Right.
Right, and their show may not fit into the NBC, whatever they're showing on television, too.
Right.
Yes, there you go. I get that. So you have to find the station that's going to fit your – I mean, I wouldn't bring my pageant system to Sci-Fi Channel, okay, because nobody's going to watch it there. So if somebody has to bring something to a station, it has to be something that correlates with what they're doing.
Well, and a lot of people don't realize there's over 590 cable networks here in the U.S.
Oh, yes. Yeah,
And that's actually – we actually have a list of all of those with links for all of our clients as well. And you know, part of your research is which one of those, how many of those, can you pitch to? There's always more than you would expect. And you know, see, you've got to know all of those. You've got to know not only if it's right for them, but there's a term called shouldering, which is what other shows on their network would yours work well with? Because if the network execs like your idea, one of their questions is going to be, well, where would you like to see this? So they're asking with what show at what time of day.
And, you know, Mark, you brought up an interesting point because years ago we only had three major stations, 2, mm-hmm. 5, and 7, okay? Now with over 580 channels, how come it's not easy to get your show on television?
It is much easier
than ever before.
It's much easier than ever before.
Yeah.
No comparison. You know, because of so many networks, they are hungry for content. We've never had as much need for content as we do now.
Oh, that is amazing. Maybe because I'm not pitching to the right people. Because I'll tell you, the people I know, you know, they come back to me and say, you know, with so many channels, I can't get this on television, or I can't get my show pitched, or I can't do this or do that.
Well, there's a number of reasons. Some, they don't know how to get the meetings. They don't know what makes a good show. And, of course, is the other thing you do have to look at. They may have a terrible idea.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just a reality. Not everyone has a great idea.
Right, right. And, you know, with pitching reminds me of Curb Your Enthusiasm. I really love that show with Larry David. And I always see his agent, you know, sitting down at the HBO table with all the executives pitching his show, and he's not saying nothing. He's letting the agent do it. But you have mentioned, in earlier in our conversation that we don't need an agent.
You're not going to get an agent until you get a deal. So you have to pitch it yourself. And once you get an agent, you're still getting most of your own meetings in pitching. I was represented by Gersh for a while, which is a big agency out in L.A. And even then, I was still landing most of my meetings. But the agent would help me get into some of those if I was having a roadblock.
Okay. So the agent's really not going to do anything until he sees something done on the person's side that's trying to pitch the show.
If you think about how they make money, it actually makes sense. It's not that they're being mean. But think about it. If they've got the opportunity of trying to pitch and sell someone who has a tremendous amount of success and they don't have to do a whole lot of work to make a lot of money, or someone with zero experience that they have to do all the work and try to talk people into even looking at them, much less giving them a deal, where would you spend your time to make your money? So you have to get your own deal. And once you have a deal, all you do is call an agency, say, I have a deal from such and such. Would you negotiate it for me? And the answer is going to be yes. And that's how I landed my first agent.
Well, I'll tell you something. I give you a lot of credit because you did do it on your own. I think most people are intimidated by that. And I think having this how to sell your TV concept and working with yourself and Jeannie to do it is excellent for anybody who wants to pitch their TV or game show. You know, and I would highly advise people working with you and, you know, working with this concept that you're offering, because I think it intimidates, and most people don't know where to start. They, like I said, one of our listeners has a game show called You Got Lucky, you know, it's great, it looks good. Now, he doesn't know where to go with it next. Who do I call? I board a plane to L.A.? I mean, what do I do? You know, he's sitting there going, so, and because he's racking his brains figuring out what to do, all he's got to do is pick up the phone or email you, and you have this way of promoting this or trying to get this concept sold or pitched, whatever the case may be. So I think that's wonderful what you're doing.
You know, it's interesting you brought up the whole confidence issue, because one of our office manager just the other day at the last day of our conference actually asked a number of our members there for video testimonials, and we just sat down, and a couple days ago we were watching them, and one of the things we kept hearing was that they walked out of our conference with the confidence on how to go and pitch their show. So that is the big thing that we do give people, because we give them the knowledge they didn't have.
Well, you know, that reminds me of Leia.
Yeah.
We had a client, she was at our last summit in March. She has a great idea for a TV show, but it was rough. I mean, when she came to the summit, it needed a lot of work.
Yeah, she was missing some key elements.
Yeah, and she's young. She's only 26 years old, but this girl's got drive like you cannot believe.
Yeah.
So,
no experience in the industry.
No experience, yeah. No experience in the industry. And she ended up hiring us to work with her for several hours. So she hired us as consultants, and she also bought resources from us. She bought into one of our programs.
One of our bigger programs, yeah.
So we worked with her, and boy, she has everything now. She's got a fantastic treatment. She worked up a website for her show, and we worked with her on pitching, because she gets really nervous.
Really nervous.
So she took it upon herself to go to the Ottawa Animation Festival, her show's in animation.
Just last week,
she booked 9 appointments, 9 pitch meetings with executives, and the place where she really, really, really wants to show is with PBS Kids.
Right, and luckily, I know the head of PBS Kids. In fact, Linda Siminski, she actually wrote the foreword to a book I wrote on animation. So I gave Leia an introduction into Linda.
Right. So Leia pitched this woman for 45 minutes, which is unusual.
That's a very long meeting.
Yeah, usually those meetings are 15 minutes tops. So anyway, this meeting was 45 minutes, and at the end of the meeting, the executive said, I love this show. I want to develop this with you.
Right. So she is now working with the head of the network developing her show.
Oh, congratulations to her and to you for helping her, you know, get to achieve her dream and her goal. How wonderful.
It was really exciting. She was actually texting us as she walked out of the meeting.
Yeah.
So we were getting a minute-by-minute blow of what was going on. It was great.
Oh, that must be exciting for you both when this happens.
We were so happy for her because she really worked hard. I mean, she did.
She did a great job.
She did a great job. And, in fact, we practiced pitching right before she left. And she had, boy, had she come a long way. Wow, I was so impressed.
Yeah, we do that over the phone. I mean, she stayed at home and just pitched to Jeannie over the phone, and that was good enough.
Oh, that's incredible. So there's just a certain way to pitch your product. I mean, I guess that's pitching for anything, not only television, but if you're trying to sell a product, you know, if you developed a project as well, trying to pitch it. You know,
absolutely.
Like infomercials and things like that.
Yeah.
You know, Jeannie, I had a talk show from 2001 to 2006 called The Essence of a Woman Talk Show, and it was purely based, the show is centered around people that were inspirational people, you know, women that came on our show that wrote with her feet because she had no arms, you know, a woman who wrote a book about her son, she lost at 19, and the inspiration that he gave his family before he passed away. I mean, we had such wonderful, inspirational people. We cried on our show. We laughed on our show. We even developed the Essence of a Woman Award, where we surprised people on air with the award for the things that they have done to help people in their lives. It was such an inspirational show, only shown in the Illinois area. But we had people throughout the United States who would go to the website and would want to watch this show. But when I tried to pitch it to the networks, it was on the Comcast Local Access which about, we couldn't get an actual viewer response, but we had a good following of people based on the letters we were receiving. But make a long story short, when I pitched it, they told me it was a feel-good show and it wouldn't pass the networks because it wasn't sensational and didn't have any negativity. So I guess it all depends on what they're looking for.
Well, I can tell you this, that Mark had mentioned this other client, the ladies who are doing the show with Scott Hamilton that's shooting here. And their show is called A Living Rose, and it's totally positive.
And yeah, it's feel good.
It's different than your show, but it's similar in that the message is to thank people in your life while they're alive, while you can appreciate each other.
Absolutely.
And they sold their show to a faith-based network.
Actually, I looked it up. It's not faith-based.
Oh, it's not faith-based. Right. That's right. You told me that. But it's a network that does positive programming.
Mm-hmm.
So there are places that accept that kind of programming. I mean, unfortunately, like Fox, you know, more mainstream networks, you know, people...
Well, but there's a couple things to look at. And not knowing your show, I can say this without sounding like I'm being mean because I don't know anything about your show. They simply could have just been an excuse that they didn't like it. Oftentimes when they're coming up with saying something about it, that's not necessarily what it is. It's like when a guy asks a gal out for a date and she keeps coming up with excuses rather than just saying you're ugly.
Right.
You know?
Right. Instead of saying, you know, I just don't like the show. It doesn't meet my criteria.
Well, it's because a lot of these execs are really nice and they don't want to hurt people's feelings.
Yeah.
It's hard to tell someone, you know, that's really a terrible idea. And I'm not saying your idea was terrible, but there might have just been something that didn't sing right. And because it was a lower budget show, maybe it just didn't have the right kind of look for them. And there's ways to get around that in a pitch and when you're putting your piece together. And that's again, when we sit down, we look at things with people, we figure out, all right, how can we take what you've got and what you're capable of and make it pitch worthy? And sometimes it's by not showing things. In fact, let me give you an example from a different industry. Maybe this will help out a little bit. As I told you, I've written a lot of books.
Yes, you
when
have.
When I wrote my first storyboard book, it was not a good-looking book. It was just spiral-bound and just Xeroxed. And I did it for back table sales at the lectures I was giving. Well, I rewrote it and made it much bigger, added like 30 chapters to it, all new artwork. I mean, it was just a completely different text. But I was calling it the second edition because it was, even though it didn't have a whole lot to do with the first one. Well, I contacted a publisher, Focal Press, with Elsevier. It's one of the biggest in the industry for doing film and TV books. And I told them over the phone. I got hold of an editor. I told her over the phone what I had written. She said it sounded interesting and asked me to send them a proposal. So I did. And they contacted me and they said, you know, this proposal is really great. We really like your book. We'd like to see the first edition to get an idea of it. I said, sure. And I sent it to them. And about 2 weeks later, I get a letter back saying, so sorry, we've decided to decline picking up your book because of the quality of the first one was not to the professional standards that we want. And I called her and I said, well, I know that. That's why I rewrote it. It's not the same book. Said, I'm sorry, it's just not good enough for us. And I thought, well, I didn't like that. So I waited a few months. Big publishers get a lot of offers, so I knew they were not going to remember my little book. So about 3 or 4 months later, I sent the exact same proposal back to her. And again, I get a call. We like it, but we see that it's the second edition. Can you send the first edition for us to look at? And I said, no. She said, what do you mean, no? I said, no, it's not representative of the new book. I don't want that to sway your opinion. Judge this on its own merit. And they bought the book.
Very interesting.
There are times not to show things, and that might have been part of your problem.
And you know something, and that is one of the reasons why I was so excited to interview yourself and Jeannie, Mark, is because there are people I know who are trying to do things on their own, and they're not being successful. So I firmly believe that we need to become educated before we even venture out to anything. And by working with you and Jeannie is the right way to move on with this, because you need to work with people that are educated, experienced, and know what to do. I really don't think the layman person could just get out there and do this. I really think you need to work side by side with someone, and you offer this with your concept. You know, you offer it with Sell Your TV Concept Now, you know, and I think that it's a great vehicle for people who are venturing out with a project of a TV show or a game show or things of that nature. And I really believe with working with someone as educated and professional as you to teach someone is the way to go. I really don't think a layman could go out and do this because I've known many people who've tried, and they just couldn't do it. You know, so I, like I said, I'd watch Curb Your Enthusiasm, and I'm thinking of all the people that have gone out there and have tried to do this on their own, and he's sitting there and he's pitching it for Larry, and I'm thinking, that's what you need. You need someone next to you that's going to be able to help you through it. Because doing it on your own, I really don't think it could be done. But that's why I was excited to have you on the show, so you could share with our listeners and people I know the right way to do it, you know, the right way to try to pitch your idea. And working with you both, I think, is the way to go.
Thank you. And the lucky thing is, it's actually a lot of fun. I mean, we really love doing it, and it's a great industry. So anyone who's thinking about it, it's fabulous. It's everything you think it could be and more.
Okay, now, I know we're going to have people that have listened to the show that are going to want to get in touch with you because they have a TV concept idea. So, Mark and Jeannie, how do they get in touch with you?
Go to sellyourtvconceptnow.com, and there's a lot of, it shows all different ways we can work with you there, and including the information on our TV Pitch School. And we also have that free report Jeannie mentioned earlier on the 7 biggest show pitching mistakes to avoid. So it's there for anyone. Just go to the website and you can download it.
Yeah, and of course, when you download something, you give us your email, and then you'll get emails from us about different products that we offer, things we have coming up.
And we also have free teleseminars. We do once every about 6 weeks. And we'll just pick a topic that we want to talk about, and it's open to anyone in the world. You can either call in or listen free on the Internet. So, you know, again, like Jeannie said, by downloading that report, not only do you get that great information, but you then get a private invitation to some of our other free training.
And Mark will definitely read his website to catch up tonight in case you all have answers for him from his website. Because Mark is like, I forgot what I put on my website.
Oh, yeah.
We're joking with Mark at the beginning, okay. Well, the hour has flown. We're so glad that you were able to join us.
Yeah, it really did.
I usually insert commercials in, but tonight we just let it go because, you know, I mean, it was so interesting. I just didn't want to break the flow of the conversation by adding commercials. And then my producer's going, when is she going to stop so we can have these commercials? But it's been a pleasure speaking to the both of you. You are an adorable couple, very, very, very successful. And you are the couple to call if there's ever a TV concept. I hope you both come on again. You know, I really do. We've enjoyed having you.
Anytime.
Well, yeah, we'd love to come back on.
And we've enjoyed having you as listeners for A Beautiful You. Until next Wednesday, remember, a successful person is a positive person, and we're here to celebrate the successes of our men and women. Have a nice evening. Thank you for joining us.